Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined today by Scott Sharp. Great to see you with us once again, Scott. It's been...
Good afternoon. And the sun's out. It's just beautiful out there. I'm in the Vesper at the moment. I've got the jacket because I'm just dodging the showers. It's not good. It's not good. Not good for the plants either. Wet feet everywhere, I should imagine.
Oh, so water's not good for plants?
Well, it depends. You know, if they start to get too clogged up and too, you know, soggy there, there's a few plants that are going to fall over. Unfortunately, citrus especially, they don't like wet feet. Look, some other plants we might talk about today, Camellia sasanqua, they're all starting to come out and flower at the moment. What to do with your basil as well? Because as it gets colder, we know that it starts to go off. Mm-hmm. And some ideas for Mother's Day as we come up to that special Sunday.
That's right. It's just around the corner, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's less than 7 days away.
Yeah, so...
Have you booked her in anywhere?
I'll tell the story about that later on, but for all the desperados, we'll come up with some Mother's Day gift ideas.
Good idea. Good idea. So we've got Gary from Curry. He's got a question about a couple of potatoes.
Afternoon, Gary. How can we help you?
Scott, I don't know how you're going to help me, mate. I've got Dutch greens and beautiful crop, but some of them, when you boil them up, they're hard inside. You know, some of them are good. Brilliant.
Yes.
And some of, you know, you got to put a skewer through them and you've got to push it to get it through them.
So when did you harvest them? And
I'm going back a month or so ago.
Okay.
Yeah, going back a while.
So, look, it might just be that some of them hadn't quite ripened, let's use the word ripened up with potatoes. That might be a reason there. That's why they're still a little bit hard. Look, when you, to know when to harvest your potatoes, you start to look at when the plant starts to, wilt off up the top almost, and you start to get some yellowing on the stem, and that's the time when you should be harvesting. Is that what you were doing, or did you go a little bit early?
Yeah, done that, but as I was going along, you know, every day, different, you know, not a lot out.
And, yep.
Yeah, and, they look beautiful, potatoes, you know, but...
Yeah.
Some of them are hard. I didn't want to give them away to anyone, you know, because of...
Yeah. Oh, look, I think that's probably what's happened to you. And look, as with most, let's say fruit or, you know, oranges, whatever, you know, anything you're going to, any edible crop, the longer they're in the ground, you know, the more they're going to ripen up, in inverted commas. And I think that's probably what's happened to yours. Maybe just a couple of them have come out a little bit too quick.
Oh, I don't know if they're left, there's still some in the ground, you know, and they're all shot again. You know, it's got the flowers and everything going again.
Right, okay, very good. And where are you growing them? You got a raised bed, or how are you doing them?
They're all raised. Yep. Yeah, everything was perfect, you know. But yeah, just they're beautiful, But anyway.
Yep, that's right. And they're handling the wet conditions we've had last couple of weeks.
Yeah, pretty good, mate.
Yeah,
good.
Okay, because that's always a problem if they start to get, really wet there. And I guess if you've got them raised up, then it's going to be draining away nicely for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on you. Good work.
Right, thanks for that, Scott.
Okay, talk to you later, Gary. Thank you.
Cheers, thanks, Gary. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM, 4921 6216. And Scott's, as you just mentioned there with the rain, you want to talk about plants that aren't great with wet.
Yeah, so look, some plants just don't like having wet feet, and they're really going to manifest themselves at this time of year, you know, when we've had a couple of weeks of pretty, you know, consistent rain. Yeah. I know in town, I take the dog down to the Market Street lawn down there. If it's a high tide, I can tell you that the grass is a whole lot soggier at the moment. So, it really is quite wet underfoot. Citrus especially don't like that. So if you've got citrus in a clay soil type position, just make sure you're not watering them at all at the moment, just letting it try and drain away. Yep. Look, the other thing you can do is actually dig some sort of channel to try and, actually get the water away.
Like a trough around it.
And like a little...
moat.
An anti-moat, let's put it that way. So it tries to get the water away. Look, if you are planting citrus and you do have those sort of wet conditions, always try and plant it up, as high as you can if you've got a raised section of your garden somewhere rather than down lower, because it's just going to naturally... The water's going to naturally drain down. So try and do that. Always dig out anything you know, if you're in those wet conditions with clay conditions, try and dig out as much as possible and put some good soil in there. Again, have some sort of little drainage trench if you can do it, even with some rocks in there to try and get that water away. So, yeah, really important. If you've got pots at the moment where you're seeing water starting to just sit in them and it's not draining away, flip them over, get a stick or something and have a bit of a prod around in the hole in the bottom and you'll probably find all the scummy water will go away. But, look, that's the best way to do it. And empty out any sources at the moment as well. You really don't need any more you know, plants sitting in those sort of conditions.
Right, yeah. So okay. Very helpful tips.
Well, thank you.
Next, we've got Carmel from Lochinvar. She's got a couple of questions for us. First one, something seems to be eating a mango tree.
Oh, doesn't sound good. Carmel, what's been happening up there?
Tree for years. And, as soon as it starts fruiting and he's got nice mangoes, someone's just like, I mean, like an animal is just getting to him before he even gets the fruit.
Right. So you can actually see like the bite marks in the...
Okay.
I reckon it's going to be possums. It has to be possoms.
How does he stop that? Does he have to put a net over it or cut it back?
Yeah, look, you'd have to net for a possum or you could put a possum, you know, sort of collar, I think, around the base of the tree to stop it from climbing up. You know how you see collar on a ship, you know, on the ship's ropes to stop the rats going up?
What, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, why, I've just come up with a great idea.
It's not a thing. You've just come up with it.
I've just come up with it.
Oh, okay. So you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not pulling your leg. I think you could do that because a mango tree, you know, depending on how old it is, you could make some sort of collar that would go around there. It just has to be plastic or whatever. You know, it could just be some cardboard, I guess, that you sort of shape up and put around there because you don't want it on there too tight. And that would actually, you know, if you had like a cone, a reverse cone, the possum can't get up through there
like
and
a
over.
Dog cone type of
yes,
thing.
Yes, very good.
Oh,
yes,
I've got a couple of those, yep. So that might work.
I'm getting stares here from Greg. Like he just can't believe that I've just come up with such a fantastic idea that we are about to patent and make a fortune out of. Yeah.
I can only give it a go. It's just that, you know, it's because it's so tall and it's like he gets to the fruit and it's just half gone. It's like, well, you know, he's had this tree for ages and ages and then all the fruit's gone, you know, because it's just bitten.
Yeah, look, have you ever thought about pruning the mango tree back?
I said to Dad, you might have to prune it back right back.
Because they are a very, very prunable plant. I mean, the wood smells beautiful when you cut it. It's quite soft and easy to prune back. Now's the time, if you're going to do it, to give it a hard prune back. So look, they're very prunable. You don't want them to get up, you know, like 10 metres, 15 metres tall, you know, where you just can't get to the fruit. So I always think, you know, a mango tree, you could probably keep it, you know, 2 to 3 metres and you'll get plenty enough fruit off there.
And then you can maintain whatever's chewing them.
You certainly can. You can have my idea of, you know, the old possum collar on there.
Give it a go.
Yeah, good idea. Okay. And look, was there something else you need to ask us?
Yeah, look, I've grown some lemon tree. Well, I don't know if they're lemon trees, but they're like lemon runners from a lemon, like a lemon, you know, the seeds from a lemon?
Yes.
So, but I've got like, you know, 4 or 5 that I've planted in the garden and they've got like little runners, like a passion fruit. So they're growing into like a tree, but they're like runners. So there's no fruit on them. And I'm just wondering, I've never done it before, like how do they have runners on them or is that normal for it or?
Yeah, look, I don't know about the runners, but you can certainly grow lemons from a seed. You're going to get, you know, what I used to call sort of the jungle lemon, which are a little bit sort of weird and wild. You're not getting exactly the same, you know, you don't know if you're going to get exactly the same lemon that it sort of grew from because that's just the world of natural selection.
Yeah.
So, look, you can do that. The lemons you buy are usually budded or grafted onto a wild root stock. So you get exactly the same, you know, whether it's a Meyer, Eureka, or if you're doing, you know, oranges, you'll always get exactly the same plant because they've grown it from a cutting and then budded that on to a wild root stock. Whereas if you grow it from a seed, you'll get a spore. Something different can happen with that plant and it can go off a bit weird and wonderful. But look, there's no reason why you can't grow citrus. It's the same with roses. You can take rose cuttings and grow them, but they're most usually budded onto a wild rootstock. So do it in pots and see what happens. If you start to get your little lemon up there, plant it up and see what happens.
I've got about 6 or 7, like, you know, that just grown into like a tall, whatchamacallit on it, all yeah. bunched together. So
okay.
they've got lots of runners like a passion fruit vine, so
okay.
I'm not
that,
sure.
That sounds a bit odd, but anyway, just maybe trim them off and just try and keep it to one main leader and
and go from there.
Yep. Sorry, I couldn't come up with a new sort of lemon collar or anything for you there, but we've already got the possum collar. We're on our way. Yep, on our way to a wealth of riches.
Okie dokie, no problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carmel. Cheers.
All right.
You can also use sensor lights as well. That's been brought up a few times, I think.
Sorry, what?
Sensor lights.
Sensor lights, yes.
So when they walk past the tree, the lights come on.
Yes. Possums get pretty sort of bolshy, though. They
probably pose for photos.
Yeah, they would.
Taking selfies out.
I remember a couple of possums I've had in trees. They don't,
lights don't bother them.
No, a torch in the eye doesn't bother them too much at all.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Because we've got Marilyn from YE, and she's got another question about passion fruit.
Afternoon, Marilyn. How can we help?
I have this passion fruit that looks very good. It's got passion fruit on it, about 10 centimetres long, up to, very plump. They're empty.
Ah, okay. And what colour are the... you think they're ripening off at the moment?
Yes, they are ripening. They're yellow.
Okay. Look, I think at the moment it's probably getting just that little bit too late now for passion fruit. We always get callers, as we go into May, June, and even to July, where people are ringing up saying, "Oh, I've got this passion fruit. They're sitting on the plant. There's some colour to them, but nothing's happening." I think as soon as you get out of March, the start of April, and that real heat has left us, it becomes too late in Newcastle and the Hunter Valley to even worry about trying to ripen up your passion fruit after that.
I have grown passion fruit before, and
yes.
they've ripened
yep.
into this time of the year.
Yeah.
But these ones...
just don't want to go for you.
Just don't want to fill up with, even when they're not ripe, they usually have seeds.
Yes.
But these, nothing.
And are they getting a bit rindy, are they, these ones, or would you say...?
No, they're just normal.
Okay.
Oh, they're not shrinking up like normal.
Okay, you're just,
like
not getting, pulp in there, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Look, that sounds a bit strange. How old is that plant? Is it...
A couple of years, maybe.
Yeah. Well, look, and that's not too old, but I always say with passion fruit, once you get to that 2 to 3 year old mark, you should plant another one in the vicinity and let it start to run and take over the area, because as they get older... like us all, unfortunately, they don't perform quite as well. It's probably time to do that and just let a new one run through there, and you'll get the new fresh fruit coming off that.
Well, I hope so. So it's nothing in the soil or anything that I'm doing.
Look, I wouldn't say just keep on using a good liquid fertiliser around passion fruit, because you want a nice instantaneous feed for the plant. And if you're using sulphate of potash to promote the flowering as well, that means you're going to get more fruit out of it.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Thank you for that.
Okay, not a problem. Great. Thanks, Marilyn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've got Barry now from Tolara, and he's got some issues with his lawn.
Hello, Barry. How can we help you?
G'day, Scott. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, pretty well.
Mate, the lawn's okay, but the nut grass.
It's taken over, has it?
Well, I'm trying to dig it out, and I'm just wondering if there's a better way to get rid of it without digging it out, mate.
Yeah, so look, when we talk about nut grass, are you talking about onion grass or the other?
Yes, onion grass.
Yeah, onion grass, yeah.
Grass.
Look, digging it out, very difficult to do, because when you do get, you get down there around the little bulbs, they just sort of slough away, they just fall away. So if you disturb it in any way, you're almost just spreading it throughout the lawn. I always say to people, look, in the lawn, don't worry particularly too much, because you're generally just mowing it quite regularly during the summer months anyway and keeping it under control that way. Look, the trouble is, once you get to these cooler months when the lawn stops growing and the onion grass or the nut grass keeps on growing, it just becomes more obvious and more prevalent for you. So, I guess you can just keep on mowing it, regularly throughout winter as well. But if, you do get to this time of year and you're seeing long strands of it or big patches of it, the only thing you can really do is to poison it, but poison it very, very carefully using glyphosate. You can't spray it, because if you spray glyphosate, inevitably it will go on the lawn that's in underneath it. So you almost have to use the old trick of, the cotton gloves and dipping it into the poison, or a very small paintbrush and just painting it very carefully over the leaves of the nut grass.
So what's it called, Scott?
You're going to be using Zero, glyphosate product to get rid of that. Yeah, and just use it straight if you want to. You're only just going to dab it on with the paintbrush, so you can do that.
Right. Thanks so much for your help, Scott.
Okay, not a problem, Barry. You have a nice afternoon.
You have a lovely day. Thanks mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we've got Andrew from Merriweather, and he's trying the flower with some citrus, but the fruit, it's not developing, so he's getting the flowers, just not the fruit.
Oh, Andrew, how can we help you? What's going on there?
Yeah, hi, Scott. Thanks. I've got a lime tree which I planted about 4 years ago, and it's, you know, it's growing madly, and it flowers really well. The fruit will just set, and then it just drops off.
Okay.
It's quite frustrating, actually.
that's no good.
The lemon and the mandarin are good.
Yep.
But this bloody lime won't do it.
Okay. Now, Andrew, have you got that in a pot or in the ground?
No, they're all in the ground.
They're all in the ground. Excellent. Okay. Look, whenever citrus has got its flower set, the most important thing to do is make sure it's been consistently watered. You don't like them drying out, because the first thing they will do is drop their flowers and their fruit. So that's where you see it might start to set, and then if it gets a little bit of a shock, or it goes, oh, I'm drying out, what am I going to do to survive? It'll just drop off that fruit as its first port of call.
Yeah, look, I've been aware of that, and I do make sure that they're kept well watered during that period of time.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Look, the other thing you can be doing as well, are you feeding your citrus? What are you feeding it with?
I tend to use Charlie Carp.
Okay. Look, I think those, you know, fish emulsion, seaweed type ones, they're fantastic for the root system of plants. I think with your citrus, and especially being in the ground, you should be giving them some poultry manure about 3 times a year. But that said, not when they're setting their fruit and flower, because you will stress them a little bit too much at that point in time. So if you can time it so that you're feeding a good bucket full of poultry manure around that time. Don't pile it up around the trunk of the plants.
No.
Always, push them away a little bit. Water it in. You'll do really well feeding it with poultry manure. Look, the other thing is sulfate of potash, of course, to strengthen the fruit and flowering of the plant. It doesn't stay in the soil, so you have to use it regularly, usually about once a month. You can get it as either as a powder, or you can get it and mix it up in the watering can and water that around. So, that's a very important thing to do to strengthen up your fruiting and flowering.
Oh, great. When you say poultry manure, dynamic lifter okay, or better using just raw poultry manure?
Look, raw poultry manure is better, but dynamic is poultry-based, so you can definitely use that.
Yeah, okay. Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much for your help.
Okay, good on you, Andrew, and thank you for the call.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Andrew. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got any questions for Scott Sharp, 4921 6216. And Scott, we might have a look at Mother's Day gifts. Not now, just soon.
Okay, I'm ready and waiting then.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. Got time for a few more calls. And we've got Kerry from Cessnock, and she's got a question about lilies.
Afternoon, Kerry. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've been told, I know my lilies are dormant, but I've been told by a friend who actually has more lilies than you can count.
Yes, a lily expert.
Yeah, and she said that if I get some peat moss, take the lilies out of the pot, make sure they're cut back to the top of the bouncing.
Yes.
That's called.
Yeah, we'll call it a bulb. That's probably the easiest way to talk about it,
Right back to the bulb. Put them in a cardboard box with a layer of peat moss.
Yes.
Put them all in there, so far apart so they don't touch, so they can't rot each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then I should put peat moss down between them to stop them from moving.
Mm-hmm.
Cover them again with peat moss and cover them over and sit them in a dark, dry spot until just before spring.
It sounds like you're almost making a lily lasagna, doesn't it? You're sort of laying it with the mozzarella and the pasta and the bolognese. Look, your friend is absolutely spot on, though. And look, it can be as simple, you know, with any bulb, doesn't have to be lilies. You can just lift them and put them into, you know, wrap them up in newspaper even, or in a brown paper bag, some sort of mesh bag. But the main thing is that they're in a nice dry spot. So, you know, in the garage, perhaps, you know, you can even hang them as well. So, you know, up off the rafters, so they're not going to, you know, attract any moisture. Yeah, look, your friend has given you exactly, you know, the good oil there on what to do with the lilies. The peat moss, I don't know, that might be a touch, I don't know, expensive and excessive to do that.
Well, but I've already got the peat moss. Okay. It only cost me $9 for a small bag.
Okay, so beautiful. I'd go ahead and use that. I would think you could just use sort of scrumpled up newspaper as well. You're really just creating some airflow in there. And allowing the bulb to, as you said, breathe and not get soggy and be up against each other.
Yeah, well, I have a plastic mat in the lounge room, and that's where I'm going to sit them on top of that in my lounge room.
Okay.
I don't sort of sit in my lounge room and watch TV. I watch it in my room. So
okay, fair enough.
There's not going to be any heat or cold air in the lounge room, so that's where I'm going to sit them. But I have... My partner bought me two of the double lilies.
Yes.
And they're absolutely gorgeous. And I don't want to lose them. That's why I thought I would double check.
You shouldn't have doubted your friend. She's, look, given you absolutely the right advice, and it's the perfect thing to do. Look, just don't store them in the bathroom, for instance, for anyone listening, because, you know, it's moist in there and, you know, they might start to grow even if they're attracting that much moisture. So, you know, like I said, the garage where you're keeping them, Kerry, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, well, there is one pot there. It's got leaves coming out of it, and I thought, well, I've never seen that before. Little thin green leaves.
Yeah, okay. So it might be time to lift them and just prune them back and get them into that nice dormant place for the season.
And she also said just keep an eye on them.
Yes.
She said if it dries out too much, just sprinkle water over the top.
Yeah, just even a mist of water. That'd do it for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You have a nice afternoon.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Kerry. Scott Shatt, we're nearly out of time for another week. Just quickly, though, this could be three gift ideas.
Okay. Look, old-fashioned chrysanthemums, they just last forever. Cycle them in a pot as long as you put them outside in the cool and don't keep in with the heater. Great gift idea for mum and heaps of flowers. A terrarium. Look, they can go, you know, if mum moves around or whatever, you know, she moves house, she can take the plant. They last a long time. They look really fantastic. I love little terrariums.
Rightio.
Yep. There's some great gift ideas.
Three, you asked for three, and that's what I got.
I'd give you more, but that's all you need.
Scott Sharp, thank you very much. And we'll catch you in a couple of weeks, I guess,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Jude will be back next week.
Ah, rightio. No worries.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.